Chapter 33 and verse 9. I'm talking while I'm giving you a chance to find the scripture, but I haven't called out the scripture. So let me call out the scripture. Genesis chapter 33 and verse 9. Amen. Praise God. Connie and Heather, we love you tonight. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good. Brother Bud and Sister Joan, I love you. Amen. I've always admired your Christian life and as an elder statesman in the Lord. Amen. In fact, I just keep right on going. All of you. Brother Doug gave me a whole extra bag of chocolate-covered cream-filled biscuits in my car the other day. Amen. I love you, Brother Doug and Sister Vera. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. Hallelujah. So the fast is over. Amen. So we're going to go to Wilson. With our next staff meeting that we have, we're going to come and have lunch with y'all. So we had already discussed that. Passed it. Verified it. We made a motion. Second it. All in favor. We're going to Wilson Donut Shop for lunch after our next staff meeting. Amen. But God is good. Amen. I love God. Praise God. Genesis chapter 33 and verse 9. I'm just going to read one verse of scripture tonight. And by the way, next Sunday, Darnell and I will be away a year ago when I didn't have a church to pastor and I didn't know what I'd be preaching next Sunday or not. God connected me with a wonderful pastor in the Cornerstone Conference. Pastor's a wonderful church that he's been the pastor of for 30 years. They've just built a brand new sanctuary, and they have a little under 200 people, but they're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you think Wilson and see, you think Sims is a small place. This is smaller than Sims, I promise you. It's called Swansonville, Virginia, and it's right north of Danville. And he invited me to preach a revival there last year, and it was such a blessing. And to my shock, he invited me to come back this year before I even came to Westmoreland. So I had this revival on the books a year ago. And so we'll be leaving Saturday, and we'll be gone Sunday and Wednesday. And let's pray for Brother Clark and Sister Bridget. They'll be doing the music. And we know they've been going through some health issues there. But I know that the Lord will touch them, and you'll have great services. Our hearts will be here. We'll be praying for you. Will you pray for us? God will use us in that revival at Swansonville Pentecostal Holiness Church. The pastor there, Michael Harp, has actually been in this building. He came and visited, and we went to a revival not too long ago, and I showed him all the facilities here. Genesis chapter 33 and verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And Esau said, just one verse, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. I have enough. My brother. The title of the message tonight is, I'd like a refill, please. Now, Father, tonight I ask that you would anoint your servant to preach the word of God. Lord, may I decrease, may you increase. Thank you for friends and family and our churches and all that you're doing in the earth and the church and in our lives. God, I just pray tonight that you would minister through me and minister to the people. Make this to be a word in season, and God will give you all the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody, you're looking pretty. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. One of the things that I like to do when I'm on the road or I'm real busy is to go through the drive-thru. I don't particularly like to go in. A lot of times I'm in a hurry and I don't have a lot of time. So and I just go through the drive-thru and I'll eat my meal in the car. And another thing I can do is listen to the radio, some of my favorite music or preaching or Rush Limbaugh or somebody like that. I like to listen to political commentary. I don't like to order inside. But one of the things that I'll do when I go through the drive-thru and I go over and I finish my meal, one of the things that I'll do is I'll go inside and try to go in clandestinely and hope the manager doesn't see me, and I'll sneak me a refill. Amen? And, you see, I like getting a refill. You finish that drink. And technically, I'm eating on the premises. It's not that I'm driving down the road, but I wouldn't do it if I did that. But I just like to go in there and sneak me a refill. And there's just something about having a refill. You see, I remember the day, and there's some, if you're 40 and older, maybe 45 and older, I remember a day when you went to a restaurant that getting a refill wasn't always part of the package. I remember going to Western Sizzlin' and Rocky Mount. I was reared in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and Western Sizzlin' has been there as long as I can remember. And I remember when you had to pay for a refill. Well, as time moved on, more and more restaurants were being built, and some of the newer restaurants were offering refills. And so one of the questions you would ask when you go into a restaurant, maybe you weren't familiar with, is you would ask this question, are refills included? Do we get refills? And oh, it was so wonderful when you finished and you went to one of those restaurants and you finished that first glass of tea and the waitress come bebopping there and you look at her and you'd say these words, I'd like a refill, please. Amen tonight. Oh, don't you like a refill? Come on now. One cup's not going to do. And really, that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. You see, concerning God's presence, concerning God's Spirit, concerning the touch of God, you see, quite simply, I'd like a refill of that. Amen? You see, there are so many of us in our world tonight. They're satisfied with what God did back then. They're satisfied with the one touch. They're satisfied with the one healing or the one breakthrough. But I believe tonight that God is still on His throne. And I believe that God is up to something. And I believe that God is in this house tonight. And when it comes to His blessings, and when it comes to His promises, and when it comes to having more from the Lord, I'd like a refill, please. Now, I just want to ask a survey here tonight. I don't know what restaurants you've been going to. And I don't know what valleys you've been going through. And I don't know what the enemy's trying to do. But how many of you tonight would say, like me, Pastor, I'd like to have a refill of God's glory. I'd like to have a refill of God's power. I'd like to have a refill of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to have a refill of the anointing. I don't want it to dry up. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. I'd like a refill, please. Somebody give Him a hand of praise here tonight. If you want a refill. You see, in our text tonight, from Genesis chapter 33, it's really better than television. Better than a drama on HBO or on arts and entertainment. Here we find the dramatic meeting of two brothers who had fell out with each other in previous years. And just in case you don't remember the story, Jacob had tricked his brother Esau out of the birthright. And that was a big deal. In Jewish culture, and particularly with Abraham and Isaac, whoever inherited that birthright inherited the blessings and favor of God. Whoever, I'm sure that as they were little boys, Jacob said to his sons, the firstborn is going to inherit those promises that God made to Abraham on that black night and said, look and see the stars of the earth or of the sky. And as many as those stars are, so your influence and so your children are going to be. That birthright meant the direct lineage to the Messiah, from whom all families of the earth will be blessed and favored of God. And so this birthright wasn't just a little thing or a light thing. It was a big thing. And you remember the story. Esau had gotten hungry, and Jacob was in the kitchen. Jacob was a chef. Esau was a hunter. And so Jacob said, I'll give you something to eat, but why don't you give me that birthright? You're really the firstborn. And you know what? Think about that moment. Esau is standing there. He has a choice to make. His stomach is growling. He's weak. And I know how you are when you get hungry too, so don't look at him so bad. I mean, when I get hungry and I get in line, I get a little agitated and my spiritual barometer goes down a little bit. That's just me. I don't know about you, but he has a choice to make. Birthright birthright or beef, birthright or pottage stew here, blessings of God or something to eat. And in that moment, a moment that seared his destiny, a moment that forever changed the trajectory of his life, it was all handed to him. It was all his. It was all going to be his. But in that moment of inconvenience, he opted for the beef over the birthright. Now, whatever you say, Jacob got it fair and square, and Esau lost it. And how many of you know, after Esau got full, he began to realize, what a fool I've been. And friend, I'm going to just stop and preach here. Teenagers, listen to me. When you turn down God's word, and when you turn down church to go out with a boy, or to go out with a friend, or to hang on Facebook, when you deny the things that God has for you, you do so at your own peril. It's worth staying clean. It's worth staying pure. It's worth being in God's house when everybody else isn't. This blessing, this birthright is worth dying for. It's worth shouting about. It's worth standing up and saying, I want all that God has for me. Would you say amen tonight? And so Esau got mad enough to kill him. I know some of you in Wilson County, and I'm from Nash County, but I know some of you in Nash County, you've had brothers that would fell out with each other. Come on now. That almost kill each other. And Jacob fled. He just got out of Dodge. And he had gone for 20 years. But how many of you know you got to come back and you got to make it right? And so here is Jacob, and he don't know what Esau's going to do to him. He's thinking, my brother was going to kill me. I got his birthright, and I've got my wife and my children and all of that I've gotten in 20 years. And so Jacob says he was nervous. He was sweating bullets. I mean, he was wrestling with God. He repented of every sin. He cleaned house. He just knew God had to come in. There's just some situations in our lives. It just ain't no way going to work out unless God steps in. And so Jacob said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him a gift. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to give him some calves and some cows. And I'm going to give him some gold and some silver. And I'm going to send him on ahead. And sure enough, I'm going to cut through the story so I can get to the message. But sure enough, they met. And thank the Lord, God touched Esau's heart. And good for Esau, because if he'd have messed up with Jacob, he'd have been a dead man. But anyway, good for Esau. He forgot. And that's another sermon for another day. Esau, whatever he did, he didn't hurt Jacob. And he cried. And he said, you're my brother. And he looked and he said, Jacob, what's all this stuff here? And Jacob said, these are gifts for you. I want to bless you. I want to give to you. I haven't seen you. This is a lot of stuff, a lot of quality stuff, good stuff. Amen. It'd be like if I had a brother and he said, Ricky, I'm going to give you an OLED television. And I'm going to give you a Bose sound bar. And I'm going to give you a nice couch. And I'm going to give you a Blu-ray player that'll play 4K. Y'all with me here tonight? I'm going crazy. And that's like a brother giving me that. And you know what Esau did? He looked at all that stuff. And you know what he said? He said this, I don't want it. You can keep it. And he said these words, I have enough. I have enough. Are y'all with me here tonight? And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I meet? He said, these are the fine grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that you have unto yourself. In other words, I'm all right. Everything's fine. I'm happy with what I got. I have enough. Now, my friend, I want to tell you something. I'm going to get down to some preaching here right now, because I've been in Pentecost since the 70s, and I have been in revivals, and I've seen the move of God. I've been in camp meetings. I've traveled up and down and preached, and I want you to know that there's some people hungry for God, but some places, there's some people, you tell them about what God wants. You tell them about all of the promises. You tell them about all that God wants to do in their life, and you know what they do? They're just like Esau. They fold their hands. hands, and they say, guess what? I got a plenty preacher. I've got enough. I'm okay. I don't need any more than what I got. I got saved way back yonder in those old days, and I don't need anything else. But my friend, I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I want more of His glory. I want more of His presence. I want more of His grace. And pardon me, I'd like a refill of God's touch. I don't have enough. Amen. Well, Brother Ricky, don't you know I've been a deacon for 48 years? Don't you know that I've been saved in Billy Graham Crusade of 1952? And there's nothing wrong with that. But friend, I want to know what's going on in 2017. I don't have enough. I preach this morning, but you know what I asked for this afternoon? I said, Lord, I need a refill of the anointing. I can't go on this morning. I can't go on last Wednesday night. I need a refill tonight. How many of you want a refill of what God wants to give you tonight? A.W. Tozer said, we taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. We drink of thee, the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. Come near to the holy men and women of the past, and you will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. They mourn for Him. They prayed and wrestled and sought for Him day and night, in season and out. And when they found Him, the finding was all the sweeter for the long seeking. Brethren, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, I reach forth unto the things that are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, I'd like a refill. He was saying, I don't have enough. Now think about this. Paul, who was blinded by a light and heard an audible voice when he was converted. Paul, who authored several books of the New Testament. Paul, who said, I know a man, he was speaking of himself, who was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that are not lawful to be repeated. This man who had such a great experience with God said these words, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do. You know what Paul is really saying? He's really saying, I'd like a refill, please. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? How many of you are not satisfied? How many of you are wanting more of the Lord today than you did yesterday? Because that's where revival is. That's a church that's going to win the lost. That's a church that the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's board members and deacons that we need. Amen. That's youth leaders that we need. That's members that we need. That's what I thank God for President Trump. But I'm here to tell you, President Trump ain't nothing compared to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it'll rise up and have an old-fashioned revival, this land will be changed, not from the White House, but from the church house. I wish somebody would say hallelujah tonight. I'd like a refill. Number one, when it comes to the great spiritual experiences of the saint, we can get a refill. Think about salvation. Ooh, aren't you glad that you're saved tonight? Going out of darkness into light. A sinner on your way to hell, and now a child of God on your way to heaven. A new name written down in glory, Brother Raleigh Scott. The fact that you're justified just as if I had never sinned. How wonderful this thing. I remember the day. I remember the hour. I remember the second. I remember the place when Jesus came into my heart and washed my sins away. It was in Rocky Mount in my grandmother's home. I got into a private place and I said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. And I knew by grace through faith, I walked into the room and old creation. I walked out of the room a new creation. I walked into the room a sinner. I walked out of the room a saint. I walked in and my name wasn't written, but I walked out and I was saved. Glory to God. Old fashioned saved. Got under conviction. Scared I was going to go to hell. And I had done a lot. I was 12 years of age. That was supposed to be funny, guys. A lot of 12-year-old people today do a lot. But listen, when it comes to salvation, there is something beyond. For many centuries, the men and women in Europe looked out upon the Western Sea to what we call the Atlantic Ocean, and they wondered if there was anything beyond. They said the earth was flat. Scholars said that you could sail off the end of the world. Nothing out there. And so on their currency, or on the coat of arms of the nation of Spain, their national motto was Ne Plus Ultra. So like ours is In God We Trust, theirs was Ne Plus Ultra at that time. And the translation, there is nothing beyond. They thought they had arrived. Sound like some people. Miss God, you know, we have arrived. Nothing else. Got it. Check. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. Ne Plus Ultra. We have arrived. There's nothing beyond. One day, a fellow by the name of Christopher Columbus went sailing on those very waters. And he went into the sunset, and people waited expectantly. And finally, he reappeared, and they shouted with joy. And Columbus said that there indeed was a land beyond the blue, a land beyond their wildest dreams, the New World. It was a glorious paradise. And so they changed their motto from Ne Plus Ultra to, they took the knee off and just left it Plus Ultra. There is more beyond. Oh, I want you to know. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for salvation. But friend, there's something beyond, and it's called sanctification. That's where you deal with that old Adamic sin nature. You know what I mean by Adamic sin nature. That's not a theological term. You know, everybody says we're brothers and sisters and all children of God. Really, we're all children of Adam and Eve. Are y'all with me here tonight? And so that makes us part of the Adams family. Amen. You remember that show, The Addams Family? That's right. Lurch, Thing, It, you know. Listen, but that Adamic nature resides after conversion. You say, well, doesn't God take it out? Not at conversion. He forgives us of our sins, and He takes away our guilt. But that Adamic nature stays in there. Well, I thought we were a new creature. We are a new creation in our spirit, but we have a nature in our flesh and in our body. And so there is something beyond called sanctification. So that's where we deal with those who are addicted, those who are on pornography at 8 years of age, those who have deep-seated flaws. Let me tell you, you can get saved today, and that old, the stuff you used to do, drugs, alcohol, that stuff is still lurking in the veins of your body, and you think, well, maybe I didn't get saved. No, you got saved because there's something changed. You wanted to be saved, and you knew you need to be saved, but you feel that bend, and you feel that human nature and that sin nature. Well, what you need to do is come back because and get a refill. Amen. You need to come on back to the altar and let us lay hands upon you. And by faith say, Lord, sanctify me. And in a minute's time, God can eradicate that old Adamic nature. There is something beyond salvation. And if you haven't been sanctified tonight, tonight is your night. If you'll just lift your cup up, He'll fill it up. And you can walk free of the power of addictions and all of the past. Can I get a witness here tonight? Oh, but I've been sanctified, preacher. I was sanctified. But listen, there's something beyond. Amen. Come on now. There's something else called the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. My friend, so many people have got their ticket to heaven and they just and they don't even witness and tell people about Jesus. But what they're saying is, I have enough. Listen, salvation is just the beginning. A.W. Tozer, that is the heavenly birth, without which we cannot see the kingdom of God. It is, however, not an end, but an inception. For now begins the glorious pursuit. Are you hearing this? For now begins the glorious pursuit, the heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of the Godhead. That is where we begin, I say. But where we stop, no man has yet discovered. For there is in the awful and mysterious depths of the triune God neither limit nor end. Oh, are you hearing me tonight? And listen, thank God you got sanctified. Amen. But did you know there's a daily process of sanctification? God sanctified me at a certain time, but I had to sanctify myself this morning. What is that? That's getting a refill. That is, what do? You present your body a living sacrifice. My mind is yours. My eyes is yours. My thoughts are yours. That Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Move on. Not only the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have that experience of being endued with the power of the Holy Spirit that they had on the book of Acts. And when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you ask the Holy Spirit to come in, there's an initial evidence called speaking in tongues. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand speaking in tongues. I understand that you don't understand it, and I don't really understand enough about it to tell you all the ins and outs of it. I just know it's real. You with me? Come on now. Well, preacher, by the way, I don't understand how a Lincoln engine works. I don't know how to connect this that Floyd Nichols does, but I don't. And you connect this and that and one little thing here and one little thing there. But all I do is put my key in, crank it up, and I'm on my way. Glory to God. Listen, your brain only weighs about 3 to 5 pounds. You mean to tell me that in 3 to 5 pounds you're going to figure out God? Oh, no. If you can figure him out with 3 to 5 pounds, he's not God at all. He is God unimaginable. And when he says that he wants to fill you with the part of his spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then what are you sitting back for? Well, I just don't know about this speaking in tongues. No, you just don't want a refill. That's all it is. You get hungry for it. Guess what? The tongues will come. Amen. I got to have more than salvation. I got to go beyond sanctification. These teenagers need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. These people that are in their 60s need to be filled. Every preacher, every deacon, every church member, let the rain come, Lord. I need a refill. And you say, Brother Ricky, I got the Holy Ghost back 5 years ago. Question, how's it going today? I got to have a refill of the Holy Spirit. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In the English, it's one-time thing, but be filled. But how many know the Bible was not written in English? I love the King James Version, but the original Bible was in Greek. For somebody to say the King James is the only version, you're really showing that you don't understand. Then if it's the only version, then God help those before English was ever even written. Come on. English is not an original language. Greek is. And in the Greek, this verse really reads this. Be always being filled with the Spirit. I need a refill. Psalms 92 and 10 says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Oh, I want you to know that God wants to anoint you tonight with fresh oil. What about prayer? What about reading the Bible? Here's one. What about a desire to win souls? You know, sometimes I can kind of forget that people are lost and dying and going to hell. And that I may be the only person that has a link and it is a block for them to go to hell. If you ever lose your burden for souls, you've drifted a little too far away. I know we can get caught up in our needs and paying our bills and what somebody did to me, what somebody said about me, what somebody put on Facebook about me. I know that's tough. I know it's tough. But let me tell you, that's not the biggest thing. Amen. That's not the biggest thing, because God is in control. Amen. And I know we have hurts, but let me tell you, when you work with somebody and they don't even know what John 3:16 is, when you work with people who have no clue, you are to be praying for them. And you ought to do more than pray. People say, well, I'll just live a good Christian life in front of them. Can I be honest with you? You're not that good. Come on. I mean, let me just tell you, I work at Best Buy. And man, I walked into Best Buy and I said, man, I'm a preacher, buddy. I'm gonna be so holy in front of these guys. And I'm going to be glowing every day when I come in. And I'm going to tell you what, a few times I've gotten so mad, I want to spit fire. A couple of times I got so depressed, I was walking around and somebody said, what's wrong with you? I don't know. They got my cell. And I'm like, I'd go home, Brother Phil. I'm like, my goodness, I'm back in kindergarten again. I thought I was a preacher of the conference, you know, moving on and got 75 boxes of books. And I thought I was beyond all this. No, let me tell you, we just all need a refill. It don't matter how much you got yesterday. Every day I go to work at Best Buy, I say, Lord, just remind me that I'm here. Yes, I want to do good on my job, but there are souls looking at me, souls in the balance. And I want to win souls for Jesus. I want people to know about Jesus Christ. And at times, yes, I remember, hey, are y'all with me here tonight? We were on our way up to Raleigh for a training, and I had two young guys with me, one on this side and one on the other side. And I'm not over on it, too much to it, but I do put it in there. And we were driving down the road, and somebody cut me off, and we almost had a wreck. And when we got straightened out, I mean, I never lost traction or anything, but when it was over, I said, guys, that shows you right there why you need to be saved right now. I said, guys, what would have happened if that car would have hit us? Where would you be the next 10 minutes? I'd be up there at heaven. And I was like, well, they were just right here, Lord. And they laughed at that. But I got the point across, amen? And for about 5 minutes, I said, look, you're good guys, but you're not good enough. Jesus died for your sins. Why do you keep putting it off? I took about 5 minutes and gently preached. Friend, I don't have to have a pulpit to preach. If they never invite me back, if I never get a chance to preach, friend, the world is my pulpit. And I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I need a refill. I want to tell my family about Jesus. So you know what I do at Christmas time? I got a lot of family that don't go to church, don't know a lot about the Lord. And do I look down on them? No, I love them. Got to love on them. But you know what I do? They say, Ricky, say the blessing. We're hungry. I bow my head and I say, dear God, thank you for the food we're about to receive. But thank you that in our sins, and we all have sinned and none are so good, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, who on a torturous cross died in agony for our sins. And thank you, God, that all we have to do is ask you into our hearts and you'll change our lives and that we can't save ourselves. What a great thing you gave us on the cross. Now, Lord, bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what I just did? I just preached the gospel. Amen, somebody. Folks, this is serious business. This is serious business, and too many of us are just cruising along, and we got what we got, and we packed up, got it all. You're like Esau. I got enough. No, we don't. We got to have more and more and more. When it comes to the spiritual experiences, we can have a refill. Say amen. Number two, when it comes to the expansion of His church, we can have a refill. Aren't you glad that I'm hurrying up. Aren't you glad that the early church in Acts, they did have 3,000 to get saved. But aren't you glad they didn't say, oh, we got enough. Aren't you glad that, Peter and James and John, they just sat back and said, we'll just minister to the people we got. And, that's a wicked world out there and you can try. But I'm telling you, that's the way church people sometimes think. Come on. Well, we can't reach millennials and, yes, we can reach millennials. Millennials are just like Generation X, Y, Z, E, or B. Every one of us are scared of death. No matter what age you are, everyone is afraid to die. The greatest fear of all is death. And if we've got the answer for the fear of death, brother, you can reach a millennial. I don't care what the music style is. I don't care if they got tattoos on every ear. I don't care if they got what they look like or where they've been from. I don't care what country they're from. They've got a soul, and we should love them and pray for them and tell them that God loves them. And listen, are you afraid to die? Yes. Well, you don't have to be, because Jesus Christ died and we can be saved. They went out into Jerusalem and Judea, Acts chapter 5, and believers were the more added. Acts 11, and much people was added to the Lord. Acts 6, the number of disciples multiplied. Acts 9, the churches had rest throughout Judea, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. But the word of God, Acts 12, grew and multiplied. Now, I'm not saying that a small church is a bad thing. I'm not saying a big church is a good thing. And we know that there are many big churches that really one of the reasons they're big is because they don't preach the true gospel. We all know that. There's churches that people go to, and if they ever heard a sermon like me or Pastor Jerry preach, they wouldn't be a big church anymore. Because they wouldn't want to, a lot of people wouldn't want to part from their sinful lifestyle. But they're neither, on the flip side, is it a badge to be a small church. Amen. Just because we're small, here's the thing. If there are 60,000 people in Wilson, don't you think a church of 150, we could at least fill that up? Amen. Amen. What do you mean? We got to have a refill. Amen. We got to reach new people. Amen. We got to invite them to come. We got to find a way when they come to keep them here, called assimilation. Amen. I want you to know, for the expansion of the church, we need a refill. Don't ever get to the place where we're just comfortable with just our few, and I have my friends, and we just pat each other on the back and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. No, sir. We are not on a luxury liner. The church is not the love boat, in a sense. We're not here just to fellowship and eat and drink, although that's part of it. This is a battleship, and we're invading the enemy's territory, and we're throwing volleys over into hostile territory, and we're sending people over the bow and making them march the beach and say, here we come. We're the church militant and the church triumphant, and we will expand. And devil, we will have our children, and we'll have the millennials, and we'll have this city, and Wilson will not go to hell as long as the lights are on at Westmoreland Church. For every church, let us say, Lord, give us a refill of the Holy Ghost. Give us a refill of power. Give us a refill of the lost, that we may see our altars filled. Somebody give him a hand of praise. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best revival is yet to come. What God has done before in 1962 at Westmoreland when this church started, what God has done in the past, friend, He wants to do it even better and even greater, more and more. Let us increase unto the brighter day. Let's let the church expand. Let's add to the rolls. Let's throw out the lifeline. Let's say, Lord, give. We don't have enough, God, until every soul is saved. We got a job to do. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. I'm about to preach myself happy tonight. By the way, there came a time in the Middle Ages when the church got just like that. They became a political machine, and they had palaces, and the pastor and the clergy and the people were separated. But one little monk by the name of Martin Luther, you know what he said, Brother Philip? He said, I got to have some more. He got hungry for God. And 500 years ago this year, in 1517, everybody on October 31st, Halloween, everybody celebrates Halloween, but it's actually the start of the Protestant Reformation. You're like, what in the world is the Protestant Reformation? If it hadn't happened, we'd all be Roman Catholics tonight. And I love Roman Catholics. But I'm here to tell you, a man said, I got to have a refill. Something's not right. And God showed to him that it's not the works of man's religion. It is the just shall live by faith. And he hung those 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg, Germany. And I know the Pentecostalist church will have leaders there in that very church on that very day. This year, there's a group going to celebrate. That church still exists. Oh, thank God. And that somebody said, we need more. We can't just have what we've been seeing. And the Protestant Reformation. And then John Wesley came with the gospel of sanctification. And then in the turn of the century, William Seymour, he was a black African-American preacher, a holiness preacher. But something was missing. And he prayed 3 hours every day. And he said, oh, God, what are we missing? We need some. And God spoke to him and said, pray 7 hours a day. So he prayed 7 hours a day. And through those prayers came what we know as Azusa Street. And the fire came down in 1906. And a man from Dunn, North Carolina, went to Azusa Street, brought it back, and said, "Guys, you've been saved. Yeah. You've been sanctified. Yeah. But there's something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can receive it." And that became the birth of the Pentecostal churches. Somebody said, "We've got to have more." Anybody with me here tonight? When it comes to spiritual experiences, we don't have enough. We can have more. When it comes to the expansion of the church, we don't have enough. We need more. But let me close by talking about the enemy of our souls. The enemy of our souls. That's a bad way to end, but I need to end on this because I want to call you to the altar in just a few minutes. Because there's one thing that you'll never hear Satan say. You'll never, ever hear the devil say this. He'll never say what Esau says. The devil will never say, "I have enough." No, the enemy of our souls will constantly be trying to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. And I want to make that very real to you. Do you know what that means? When you enlarge something, that means you live in a, let's just say, this church sanctuary, and we get too packed in here. And so let's say we knock out this wall and we add a whole nother section of pews and expand this stage. Do you know why we're doing that? It's to give room for more people. Are you with me? That's what is going on in hell. Satan is saying, "Let's expand hell." Because, you know why? Because he has his eye on your son. He has his eye. "I'm going to get that daughter. I'm going to get that niece. I'm going to get that next door neighbor that's a Muslim that you're afraid to go talk to and share the love of Jesus and be just a good neighbor to. That'll win a lot of them right there." Amen. Are you with me, somebody? Don't believe what you hear on TV all the time. A person has a soul, and if they're Muslim, if they're Jew, if they're whatever, they are afraid to die. And we have the only best answer for death, because Jesus died and he rose again, and that gives us hope. The devil's never going to say, "Oh, I got enough. I'm not going to mess with Westmoreland anymore. You know, I'm just going to leave them be. I got enough souls burning in hell." He'll never say, "I have enough." In fact, there's a very obscure scripture, and I'm closing. There's a very obscure, I'm closing to give you hope tonight. To let you know the end is in sight. I'm preaching about as long now as Brother Jerry, amen. And we love Brother Jerry's preaching, amen. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 15. A very obscure scripture, but very powerful. The horse leech. You ain't heard too many people preach about the horse leech, have you? Well, you know what a leech is, don't you? A leech, something jumps on you and will not let go. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, "Give, give." There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four that says not, it is enough. He said there's four things that you'll never hear say, "I have enough." Number one, the grave. Number two, the barren womb. Number three, the earth that is not filled with water. And the fire. Fires must be put out. They will continue to burn as long as they have a source that will feed them. And they are hard to put out. And the grave is constantly wanting more. And the woman who's never had a baby, most of them are still saying, "I wish I'd have had a baby," because God has put in every woman the desire to have a natural baby. These things are never satisfied. The grave, the womb, the earth, and the fire. And that's what Satan is. He's trying to get us to the grave. He's trying to rob us of the womb. He's trying to set fire in our life and to destroy and to kill and destroy. And we see this in our society. In fact, we see it even in society. Did you know there are certain groups of people And I'm not going to call their names, but you think they're just being quiet while President Trump is just going to go on and appoint a conservative Supreme Court justice? And I don't always agree with President Trump, but do you think they're going to be silent when he stands up for Israel and says, we're going to back you because God has blessed us as a nation? Do you think that somebody's going to say, well, we'll just let it go on? No, we're about to enter into some times where the enemy is going to flare up and do everything he can. And you know what? That is so sad that the enemy will do things like that and we in the church just kind of roll on. And yet God is saying we can have a refill. Amen. I want a refill tonight. I need a refill tonight. Thank God. Jesus said to the church, don't say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Oh, as long as you stay in the place where you're saying, listen, if you think you've arrived, you've aimed too low. Anybody want a refill tonight? Would you stand with me if you do? Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for salvation. I thank you that there's something beyond. I want you to just take a moment and step out of your seat and join me at the front tonight because I want to have a closing time of prayer. The scripture says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And anybody want to be anointed with fresh oil tonight? Anybody want to know more about the Lord? Does anybody need a healing tonight? Is anybody here satisfied with all that you have? Or are you a little hungry for a little more? If you are tonight, lift those cups up to the Lord. God, you're just passing by tonight. Oh, Lord, you're wanting us to have more of spiritual experiences. If you need sanctification tonight, if you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray for Katie tonight. She's hungry for more. God, Lord, she's been through some trials. She's had a tough life. But, oh, God, she wants more of you, God. She's crying out for more of you. I pray for Trinity tonight, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, just do a work through her and in her and to her tonight. If you're close to a young person, just lay your hand upon them. And I mean somebody that's 40 and under, a young person. Just find somebody, some teenager, some young person. Oh, God, thank you for Elizabeth, Lord. She was raised in this church. She was brought to this church from the time she was a baby in her mother's womb. But God, she's going to Falcon and she knows that there's a calling on her life, God. And she knows that there's more. And she's not looking back, God, but she wants more and more and more. Lord, don't let her be satisfied. Don't ever let her get on cruise control. God, just give her a hungry heart. Oh, God, we pray for our young people tonight, God. Oh, God, that needs more of the Lord. Oh, God, thank you for Brother Kyle and Beth, Lord. They're every Sunday, every Friday night, every day, they're saying, give, Lord. Here's your servant, God. Sanctify, fill with the Holy Oh, God, fill with your blessed Holy Spirit, God. And Lord, they don't have the answers, but God, you have the answers. Your word, as I preach this morning, is the manual for the marriage and for the soul. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you touch Heather, Lord. Oh, God, touch her back right now. Oh, God. Bring healing, God, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. She's been through some valleys. God, there's been times when she's been hurt by family. But, oh, God, you, Lord, will pick her up. And you have an inheritance for her in heaven that fades not away. Oh, God, thank you tonight, Lord, that I want more, God. Give this child more, more, more. Just ask him for it tonight. I want more of your spirit, more of your anointing, more of knowledge of the Lord. God, I want to be on fire this year like I've never been on fire. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be a witness on my job. Lord, help me to love those who I work with. Oh, God, help the church to expand and go out into the community. Lord, help us to realize we are here for such a time as this. I want more. I'd like a refill of the Holy Ghost tonight. I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Would you lift your hands and say it one more time. Lord, I want a refill tonight. Lord, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the goodness of your glory. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here tonight. God, touch and minister, we pray tonight in the name of Jesus. We're not going to be like Esau. We're not going to be like Esau. We say, Lord, give it to us. Give us all that you got. Thank you for what I have. But Lord, I receive a fresh touch and a fresh blessing today. And we bless you tonight, Jesus. We praise you tonight, Jesus. Somebody say amen tonight. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, I fill it up. Make me whole. Thank God for words in front of you. Amen. I want more of the Lord. Amen. Can we just join hands all together in a closing prayer tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, what an awesome day we've had today. And we thank you, Lord, that you've stirred our hearts by your word. And God, we're not leaving like we came, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we pray for the one on our left. We pray for the one on our right. God, we're just asking, Lord, that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's in us. Lord, we pray for souls. We join hands, God. We're a mighty army tonight, God. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And 2017, my theme is, Lord, I am pursuing God. I'm pursuing God. My soul follows hard after God. I want all of God I can get. And everybody said amen. And everybody said amen. Well, unless you want to stay a little longer, you're at liberty.